Sorry I didn't start recording this. I had a dream this morning, and as I shared with Karen about this dream, I seen that it had to do with processing God's Word. So if you want to title this, just title it Processing God's Word, if you want to title that. But follow me closely, because I'm going to explain what I dreamt, and it was hard to put into words. But so I'm going to take my time. In this dream, I seen a large living organism. It was so large that the dimensions could not be distinguished. And from this living organism, I seen being placed and drawn, I seen like frequencies. And they were being drawn out of this organism, placed on the shelf. And they look like you would see, if you ever recorded, they look like sound frequencies on a machine or something. But they were alive and vibrant. So if you've ever seen recording equipment and seen how the waves, the frequencies are being distributed on the machine, it's what these frequencies look like. But I wasn't sure who or what was drawing out these frequencies. I just seen hands. Now pay close attention. These frequencies in themselves looked erratic at times, with sort of a wild, unfavorable look. And they had a negative feel to them. They made me feel sort of uncomfortable. But when these frequencies became connected with other frequencies, the entire look of the frequency changed. They became neutralized and calm and positive. As I watched this process take place over and over again, I began to understand what I was seeing was God's Word on a molecular level. I was seeing specific truths operating on a spiritual level. So I want to explain, I was seeing things drawn out. And so what I believe I was seeing, this large living organism, was God. And we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And there were frequencies being, and I'll catalog these frequencies as concepts. They were being pulled out of the embodiment of God, but on a deep, deep level. Now, so this is the truths that I was seeing. First and foremost, number one, God's Word is alive. I want to encourage you guys, please take notes, all right? You got to get this, because this is going to affect the deepest part of your soul and of your walk with God. And if you don't get this, you're not going to be able to draw into a deeper relationship with God. So first, the first concept that I come to understand is that God's Word is alive. Write these scriptures down. John 6:63. Jesus said, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrows, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And 1 Peter 1:23, "For since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. So the first thing that we have to come to understand that God's Word is living. There's something to it. Okay. It's alive, all right? It's just not a dormant thing that's just sitting around. It's alive. If you were to look at like blood through a microscope, you would see a lot of organisms that are moving around. And we're looking, and you would be looking at it on a molecular level. So God's Word is alive. Now, second, and some of these things are things that we've talked about before, but I'm going to bring them into, they're going to have a deeper meaning as we move along. The second concept is the concept of God's Word are not designed to stand alone. They must be accompanied by other witnesses to confirm truth. So when I was seeing these frequencies, they were alive, these concepts being pulled out and by themselves, and I'm going to bring this a little clearer, by themselves, they had a negative connotation to them, but when other frequencies, others came, it calmed it down and it neutralized and it became positive. And it's going to make sense here in a minute. So God's Word, His concepts are not designed to stand alone. They must be accompanied by other witnesses to confirm truth. And we know that. Here's some scriptures. Deuteronomy 17, beginning at verse 2. If there is found among you any of your towns that the Lord your God has given you, a man or a woman who does what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God in transgressing this covenant and has gone and served other gods and worshiped them or the sun or the moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have forbidden, and it is told you, and you hear of it, then you must, or you shall inquire diligently, and if it is true and certain that such an abomination has been done in Israel, then you shall bring out of your gates that man or woman who has done this evil thing. You shall stone that man or woman to death with stones. On the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses, the one who is to die shall be put to death. A person shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. The hand of the witnesses must first be against him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So shall you purge evil from your midst. In Numbers 35 and verse 30, this is from the ESV. If anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the evidence of witnesses, but no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. So God's word hinges on the truth and the confirmation of other words. And that is the concept that we're talking about. Truth has to be derived from truth. All right? Truth cannot stand alone on just one variable. That's why we have the whole concept of God. That's why when we're teaching, we use the multitude of scriptures, because scripture will confirm scriptures. And that's why I encourage you when you are, if you have a debate or if you are talking to people, don't stand on your word, but you stand on, this is what the word says. This is what the Bible says. You quote scripture and verse.
What was the Deuteronomy verse, man?
Deuteronomy 17:2. Chapter 17, yeah, beginning at verse 2. Actually, it's 2 through 7. Now, thirdly, understand this. God's word can be used to produce life, be it positive or negative. All right? True or false? And remember, the word of God is alive. It's a living entity. It's active. So it will produce something. It will produce. In fact, if you read Isaiah 55 and 9 through 11, God's word goes forth. It will produce. And if everything is done properly and in order, it will produce the God intended thing. So let's look at here. God's word is alive. Let's see how God's word and can be negative, in a negative perspective. 2 Corinthians 2:17 says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ." So we see that the word can be corrupted, all right? And how could the word be corrupted? Well, we know that if a person is not comparing scripture to scripture, but they are bringing out only one scripture and trying to bring out a specific thought on that scripture to prove a point or whatever, that can lead to false teachings. That's corrupting the word. That is taking God's word and making it a negative. Now, if people follow into that, what's going to be the effect on their lives? Negativity. They're going to be living in a false reality. They're going to be believing false teachings, which is not good and doesn't produce the fruitful, the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:14. This is talking about the purpose of the fivefold ministry to the body, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So again, we know that there's people who will try and take the word and they will try to corrupt it. They'll try to craft it for their own gains, to get you, you know. And we've seen, you know, you got your Jim Joneses and your Koreshes and many, many different factions out there that have corrupted God's word, and they've drawn people into following that. Well, the end result is, for the most part, death. Here's another one, Romans 16:17. So I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught, and avoid them. So there are people out there who are creating obstacles to trip you up, to pull you into a false belief system. Look at Romans 16:18. For such are persons who do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, or our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. That's why the Bible tells us to be sober, to be vigilant. We're to be listening to the Holy Spirit and challenging everything that we believe. Does it measure up or line up to the truth that I know of God's word? So don't take things just because somebody says it, somebody says something that's wowing, you know, or sensational. Compare it to the word. Doesn't matter who it is. Look at 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And then one more, 1 John 4:1. But you, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Okay, let's not be naive concerning these things. There are people who are literally, and there's other scriptures where Paul talks about how that Satan even disguises himself as an angel of light to appear. So let's not be naive that these kind of things aren't happening, because it can be very detrimental to our spiritual health. So we must be, standing on God's word. And let me finish this off. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay, so we've seen that there are those that can take the word of God, this word that is alive, and produce a living lie. A lie that is alive, a lie that is living, a lie that is infecting and affecting even God's people. Now, let's look at the word, how it becomes in a positive light. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. And that thou from a child hast known the holy scriptures, that are able to make thee wise until salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, that all things be done decently and in order. Now we're seeing the word of God being implemented in our lives in a fellowship, but everybody is in unity, and we're all receiving the righteousness and things of the Spirit of God. Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. To have a proper relationship with God's word, we must see that God's word is real. So let me back up a little bit. So we see that the word of God, when properly used, can have a positive, a good, a holy, righteous effect on our lives, which is proper. All right, so you have the negative and the positive. Do you see what I'm saying here? Yes, thank you. All right, let's move on. I want to make sure I get this all covered. Is it already going on?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. To have a proper relationship with God, we must see that God's word is real. That means that it can be manifested in our sensory realm, even on a molecular level. God's word can be manifest in a molecular level. Let me explain. If any of you have had a healing in your body, It was God's word, spirit, and power that touched you. Okay, now that touch, if it was healing, touched you on a molecular level. In fact, we have a testimony we'll have to share Wednesday of the Pastor Milton. It was from either Niger, I think it was.
Yeah, good one.
That Apostle Milton prayed for a person that had AIDS, and they had been shown positive, and now after two tests, it's negative. So this man was touched on a molecular level, not just a surface level. But God's word has the ability, because it's supernatural, to touch in the molecular level. Molecular, when I say molecular, that means molecules into the deepest part of your body, deep in your real body. But understand this, because your physical was affected, you were touched on a molecular level. It wasn't just like feeling the wind blow in your face. It wasn't something that was on the outer. It was something that touched on the inner. Look at this scripture in Luke 10:9. Jesus said to heal the sick, and when they're healed, say to them, the kingdom of God is come near to you. Understand this. Heaven is a real place, right? But we can't grasp hold of it. It's a different realm, not inhabited by flesh and blood. You could say it's a spiritual place, but it is real. And the effects of heaven are real to us. Here's some examples of that. John 6:31 says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So something from heaven was sent to man and made manifest, physical, and they were able to eat of it. Jesus in John 6:51 said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I will give him for the life of the world is my flesh. And John 6:58, Jesus said, talking of himself, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eats of this bread shall live forever. When we talk about the bread from heaven, we have to look at Exodus 16:12. And it says, this is God speaking. I got 10 minutes here. So let's, well, Vince, go fast.
Godspeed.
I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat in the morning, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is this? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said unto them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. So the Lord gave them something from heaven and manifested it in the physical realm. Still, there's another level in which God's word is active, and it is the material level. We talked about the spiritual level, the material level. For example, if you're believing for financial need, somehow God is able to manifest the answer through various channels. Here's a scripture talking about the material realm. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, he has humbled you and caused you to hunger, cause you to eat manna, which you had not known, which your fathers had not known, in order to cause you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Jehovah. It's Deuteronomy 8:3. Look at here. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. God, the supernatural, affecting our natural realm. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, the point of this, Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. As each one give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now listen to this. This is verse 8, 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower, which is God, and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. The following words are from our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, and we need to allow these words to be a reality to us. Luke 12:29. Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom. Seek this invisible realm, this realm that's on another level. And these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Listen to this. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. So sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags, which do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your heart, your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But your Father, it's his good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. So after all this, it leaves one question that needs to be answered. That being, how real are we willing to let those words be to us? Are we willing to believe that they are just good words to live by? Or are we willing to believe that there are supernatural realities that are waiting to be released to us? I'm mindful of the scripture in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And lastly, in conclusion, let's consider Jesus, his words, our Lord and Master. He said unto them, if you can believe, in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believes. So the reality of God's word, it works on a molecular level. It works on a material level. It works. We just have to be willing to believe that it works, and it will work. This is so vital to our walk with the Lord, because like it said in Deuteronomy 8:3, that man shall not live by bread alone. So what kind of life do you want to have? Do you want to have just a regular life like everybody else, or do you want to experience supernatural horizons? Do you want to experience kingdom blessings? That's all our choosing. And so we let the word of God affect us in so many ways so that we can be enjoined together in that spiritual realm and walk in the spirit, walk with God. So that was my dream. It was very, very hard to process. I had to take a lot of time and ponder it. I had a hard time explaining it to Karen because it was just different, you know, seeing frequencies, you know, but yet God always has a way to make himself manifest. So are you ready for supernatural horizons?
Yes.
Are you ready to go deeper into the things of the Lord?
Yes.
Are you ready to have this word affect your life in ways that you've never had it affect you before?
Yes.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen. So trust in it. So
we got a couple good testimonies for Wednesday.
Yes, for Wednesday we have some
from Nigeria.
from, we've got some testimonies to share that are awesome. And and it's basically confirming everything that we've just talked about. And they're experiencing in all across in Africa where we have IFOP centers. It's just exciting to hear what God is doing. It just brings me to tears every time I hear some of these things. But we need to pray before we're cut off. We got souls here. We got two minutes left. So let's pray. Oh, righteous Father, thank you, Lord, for how you're willing to speak to us, to teach us, to help us so that we can walk closer to you. Lord, as your word says that you desire, you have, it's your pleasure to give the kingdom to us. So Lord, help us to be recipients of that kingdom life, of that supernatural realm, which is the realm of the impossible, the realm of your presence and your love and your goodness. That's where you dwell. So Father, we ask for you to continue this good work in our lives that you've started. And Lord, bring us to new places in you. Lord, we look with expectancy to see you do great things, Lord, as we trust you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow, I really enjoyed sharing that.